Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And today, we're going to be talking about something that I get asked about a lot, like a lot, and that is about Facebook groups. Are they dead? Should I be doing something else? What should we be doing? How should we make them work? And most importantly, what everybody wants to know is, can we still make sales out of them? So today, we're going to have an expert who's going to talk about all those things, how to optimize, how to re-engage, and how to increase sales using your Facebook group. So let me tell you a little bit about her. So Deesha Wadhub has worked in marketing for over 9 years with extensive experience working internationally in corporate environments and in digital marketing agencies before she founded Social Treats. Deesha is accredited by Facebook as a lead trainer and community manager, and her company is also certified community management by Meta. Using organic social media strategies, and in particular, Facebook groups, she has perfected a system that she now teaches through her coaching programs. Deesha enjoys working remotely from any location in the world and believes everyone should have the same freedom and flexibility in their life. That is why she's passionate about helping other people to consciously create a life they choose. And I have to tell you, I love that so much because you guys are all used to hearing me talk about designing the business and the life that you want. So this totally resonates with me. So Deesha, thank you so much for being here with me today and from far away too. So that is kind of really exciting too. So you are located in Sydney?
Is that where you're located? In the UK. No, in the UK.
In the UK. All right. Gotcha. Okay, so that is perfect. Still far away, right?
Still far away.
I don't know where I got Sydney from, but that could be somebody else I'm going to be interviewing this week. So I knew this is international week for me. So I am so excited to have you here and really to be talking about Facebook groups. Like I said, I think this is something that people have a lot of questions about. And more than that, they have a lot of opinions about, right? You know, they have questions, but they have a lot of opinions. And it's like, is it dead? It's kind of like email, right? Is email dead? No, not really. Bad email's dead, right? So, let's kind of talk a little bit about that. So let's start with really thinking about Facebook groups. What is the reason you think that people are thinking about shutting them down, not doing them? They don't want to join them. They, you know, wonder if they're still viable for business. Like, what are all those things? So can you talk a little bit about, you know, I'm sure if I'm hearing it, I'm in the marketing business too. Like what, you know, and why did you decide that you really wanted to kind of focus a lot on Facebook groups in the first place? It's kind of an A-B question. So why don't we just jump in with that?
Yeah, one of the reasons that I love Facebook groups is the community aspect. It's the being able to connect with each other and for each other to connect with each other as well. So the whole group can connect rather than just sort of me stood on my pedestal, if you like, preaching at everybody like you would on a Facebook page or, you know, Instagram, where it's not really a place where other people can pitch in and have conversations. It's just you sharing what you think and then people might comment below. So that's a real reason that I love communities, because it gives everybody a space to share their network of expertise. One of the reasons that I see that a lot of people say Facebook groups are dead or it's not worth it and all the other stuff that you hear in the industry is generally because people aren't doing it. They haven't changed with the times, right? They're still doing the same thing they were doing 2, 3, 4 years ago. They're like, well, I still post 3 times a week and nobody is engaging. I'm like, well, yeah, because the algorithms have changed. Things have moved on in the last 3 years, and what you were doing before isn't what's going to work now. It's a completely different setup, and the world has changed. The way people interact with Facebook has changed. The way people interact with other businesses has changed. So being able to move your strategy along with the way that Facebook now wants groups to be is going to mean that you'll have a much more successful and engaged Facebook group.
I think that's really interesting because I feel like there's both sides of the spectrum, because while one part of the spectrum is saying that they're not finding Facebook groups to be successful, or they're not, which I agree with you, they're not doing them right. So we will touch on that. But on the other side of the spectrum, I see people going to other places, but then they're saying, I'm already on Facebook. Right. I don't want to have another place that I have to go. Right. I'm here already. And I kind of feel like I have a foot in both those spaces, really. On one hand, I only want to be in groups that really are communities. And I have been a part of some that are so engaging. It is like, oh, it's like amazing. And then I've had all kinds of programs that I'm a part of that have chosen to not be on Facebook. And every single time I log in, I think to myself, why aren't you on Facebook where I already am? Right. So I think there is both sides of that coin. And I feel like people go back and forth. So at any given time, you could ask somebody something and they would say one, and sometimes they would say the other, and most times they would say both. So are you seeing more people talking, you know, when they come to you, right? They're probably frustrated with their Facebook group. That's why they're talking to you, right? But is a question that you get asked a lot. So let's just talk about that. So what are some of the most common questions that people ask you? Because I know that people say to me all the time that they're thinking about going elsewhere.
Yeah, that is something that comes up a lot. And I think that unless you have a core audience that you know will follow you to the ends of the earth, then going to another platform creates a massive drop off of those people, because it's some, like you said, it's something else that they need to log into. And if there's a course associated to it, or they've paid for something and they're like, yes, I'm going to go and log in and be active in this community, then they will absolutely do that. But if it's something that is free and they have to go in and have a look at it again and see what's happening, then they're like, I just log in and I have to do this. And it's another app. And I don't know about you, but I have probably hundreds of apps on my phone already as it is, right? I don't need to download and have another login code for something, because my password is crazy, right? There's so many different logins for different things. So I think making sure that you, if you have a core audience that are going to follow you, like a course or something, then fine. If not, then create a space where your audience are. The same with, I hear some people say about LinkedIn and creating communities on there and other platforms. If your audience isn't already on there, then you're having to move them all over, and then you're going to lose that drop off as well.
So before we go deeper, and we really are going to, so I hope everybody has pen and paper, because we are really going to go deep here. There is actually a couple different kinds of groups, right? So there is technically, well, they may all be called Facebook groups, right? There's the Facebook groups where they're free, you build your community. It's the place where you put people, right? You know, this is where the community is. This is where you're building relationships, right? I also have I'm in Facebook groups where they come with something, like you're in a summit or you're part of a program and they do it in the Facebook group. And then after that program is over, you're still in that Facebook group. And then there are paid Facebook groups where you literally had to pay for something to get in there. So I do kind of want to talk about each one of them, but I have to tell you, coincidentally, that this week, somebody actually tried to enroll me in a way that I have never heard before. And I literally can't wait to see how that works. And so I'm going to ask you, since this is kind of sort of about your thing, and literally it just happened this week, where they are actually doing a workshop per se within a Facebook group. But to get in there, you have to get on a 10-minute call as a confirmation that you're going to show for the workshop. So you had to get on this 10-minute call. And then when you get on the 10-minute call, once you do that, and you had to agree to with a calendar link that you'll have a call with them after the workshop. And until you agree and book both of those things, they won't let you go to the workshop or give you the link for it or let you join the Facebook group. And I'm thinking that's asking people to do a lot when they don't even know yet what the value is that that workshop is going to bring. And because I'm in marketing, I did it and it's tomorrow, but I did it mostly because I want to see how it works. Like I'm thinking that's not going to fly. And I really kind of want to see. So, you know, let's just kind of start the conversation of all the different ways before we actually go in. What are all the different kinds of groups that you see? And then let's kind of talk about the pros and cons of each.
Yeah. So there are so many different jumps, hoops that people go through at the moment, right, to get access to their things. And I think that has been a massive shift over the last year, because since we've been coming back into normality or whatever the new norm is that we're creating, is people are bored of those workshops. They don't want to sit on an hour long workshop and then be sold to for 45 minutes of it. Like, they don't want actual value. So because of that, because of the declining numbers of people showing up to those things, people are having to shift and change the way that they're interacting and showing up for their clients. One of the things that I do is I have lives inside of my group every week around topics that people can learn from. So they can show up and learn for free. And they're 15, 20 minutes, like not, there's a sales at the end as in a call to action. Like if you want more, send me a message, but that is pretty much it. Like there is not a huge pitch and it's more about giving value and serving. And by showing up that way, it allows people to get to know, love, and trust you so much quicker without having to jump through all of those hoops, like you say, of having that the pre-call and the post-call. And what I have just done actually was last week I ran a mini paid workshop. And this is the first time that I have done this. And I literally decided to do it the week before. And I had 1 week and I was like, if I get 10 people on this, it's fine. Like I just want to experiment in this process and doing a mini paid workshop, which is essentially just a conversion event for my higher ticket offers. I charged $15 for it. And I had 31 people show up and pay, which was well beyond what I thought was going to happen, because I literally gave myself 7 days to promote it. No ads, nothing, just here's my stuff on an email and a few posts. And I offered them a one-on-one call off the back of it and 90 days of support. It was a sales sprint workshop. And so the amount of people that showed up to this and showed up live compared to those free events was huge. And now I've got a funnel of people to be able to reach out to, because I know they've already paid a little bit of money and they're booking in their one-on-one calls, which is my opportunity to speak to them about their sales and what's going on there and their marketing plans. So it gives me that sort of edge on who I need to speak to over the next 90 days and see where they're going. So by creating these different types of opportunities in Facebook groups, is giving people the opportunity to learn and grow from you in different ways. The people that signed up to my workshop, some of them were regulars in my space and names that I had seen regularly. And when you start, obviously you'll know this, there's some people that show up all the time for you, isn't there? And others were brand new in my world. And I was like, oh, this is quite interesting to see the difference. And maybe they've been stalking me for a while. And I have a phrase, I love the stalkers, right? We love them because they're just quietly watching until they're ready to buy. Great. But they had been stalking me for a while and then jumped onto that little mini offer. So by creating these different things and different ways for people to interact with you, the other thing that I make sure that I do when people join my community is not just have one space that they can connect with me. So although the community is my main thing, I'm driving everybody to community, it is not the only thing. I am making sure that I'm capturing their email address when they enter. I'm sending them a friend request. I'm sending them a message just to say, hey, and share some new trainings with them. So but already before when they've joined my group, I've connected them in four different ways. So,
well, I love that. You know, I have to say one of the things to me that is seriously getting old is that when you join a Facebook group and the first thing they want to do is give me your email because I'm going to send you this thing. But most of the time, that's how you got to the group in the first place, was through something. And then they said, oh, well, come and join my Facebook group. And you liked the thing that they gave you. And that's why you're there in the first place. And so then you give, you know, you're going to give them the email, or else I just say, I already, you know, yeah, I'm already on your list, you know, and stuff. And so I'm thinking, it's kind of counterintuitive there sometimes, unless you're going to give them something that you haven't been putting out. Like that's the only way they're going to get it, exclusive content or something. Then really, by the time, I think people are also getting tired of answering all the questions, right? You know, like some people just make it so difficult to even get in the group. And you're like, really? There's like 5 million groups. Why are you making it so tough for me? And really, I think if they focused a little bit more, instead of this is what I want you to do, you to do, you to do, they focus a little more on here's the expectation you can expect from me and how I'm going to serve you, right? Which I think is a little bit more appropriate at that point, especially if they're not in your ecosystem yet.
Exactly. Yeah. And one, the message that I send to people when they first join the group is around, hey, I put so much content inside of my community. I am doing trainings all the time. So I would love to be able to get to know you a little bit better so that I can direct you to where you need to be and what you need to learn right now. And by doing it that way, I'm giving them value straight off the bat and telling them where they can go find more value and search for things if they want to as well. So they are getting that insight into me and how I share, rather than, hey, do you want to jump on a sales call? Which I see so often when you join groups. Hey, thanks for joining my group. I'd love to talk to you. Do you want to jump on a sales call? No. I've been in your group.
Exactly. Okay. So I can see that we're starting to get into the things not to do too, which I think are just as important. Like for me, I like to know what not to do just as much as I like knowing what to do. But first, let's kind of bust some myths. So what are some of the myths around Facebook that you hear all the time?
Some of the myths. That the algorithm is playing games and nobody's ever going to see your posts, I think is one of the things that I see a lot, that nobody's on Facebook anymore. That's another one that I hear a lot. They're just not true. There's millions of people on Facebook accessing your resources, accessing the app every single day. And Facebook have literally put community in their mission statement. It is something that Mark Zuckerberg has put up there every single time he's talked about Facebook, around putting community first and making sure that everybody has access to communities and community spaces. And he's run out the community management certification. So he's really trying to push communities. So that, yes, they are, and they're getting a lot more space in your business page to start with on your algorithms. And you can see Facebook have a transparency report every quarter, so you can see exactly what is coming out and where everything is sitting in your newsfeed. Your personal profile is still 57% of that newsfeed, but then the next big chunk is Facebook group. So it's still getting a very big chunk of the newsfeed on your Facebook.
Well, I think that's really important for people to know. They should still be thinking about having that be part of their marketing strategy. Now, I really want to talk about how to optimize and re-engage your group, because I think most people have that. But I have to say, we're going to do that in 1 second, but I have one question first that I think, well, actually two questions. No, yes, we'll do two questions. The first question really is, I see people all the time. This is what my word for it is. I call it trolling, where somebody asks a question and then, you know, 500 people jump on there. Oh, pick me, pick me, pick me. Right. And I have my own answer to the better way to do that, but I would love to know what yours is.
What do you mean by question when people put a sticker post and ask something on Facebook?
Yes. You know, sometimes somebody will say, oh, I'm looking for a coach who can help me with this, or I'm looking for somebody who could do this. And then they literally get like 500 people that say, pick me, pick me. And people will actually troll through those. And it's the only time you ever see them in that Facebook group. They never give value. They never contribute. Like, to me, you know, lead with contribution and compensation will follow. That is how I do business, period. It's always about contribution. And so I see people do that all the time. And I actually have an answer to that, that I think is more effective. But since this is your area of expertise specifically, like, what is your answer to doing that better?
So one of the things that I do is elevate yourself. So if you're going to comment on those, don't just put pick me, I'll DM you or whatever. I would elevate why you are important and why you have the expertise and skill set to do that. And whether that's specific to that person or that industry that has asked the question, you can do a little bit of digging and find out a bit more, or specific to your niche and how you specifically help people. And funny enough, this is how I got one of my very first big clients as a social media manager. I saw a post like this. And at the time I was doing social media management and I was working with wellness entrepreneurs. So on the post, I put, hey, I'd love to help with this. I'm a social media manager. I specifically work with yoga and wellness instructors, life coaches across the world. I have a blog that I have written tons of information on that you can check out that has loads of different things on wellness and how to better improve your social media content as a wellness entrepreneur. And I have previous examples that I can show you as well. Let me know if this would be something of interest to you.
Oh, and I love that when people do that, because now, you know, you're going through and you're getting all those answers and you're like, oh, here, go to my this, here's my this, here's my that. I'm like, you're going to make me work. You want me to, you're going to make me work for it. When really, you know what I mean? And I think that is kind of interesting. And here's my last question about Facebook groups, sort of as the participant, and then we're going to flip over. So here's the thing. I know my answer to this too. And I know my audience out there's like, Patty, we want to hear what your answer was. But I'm the host today, not the guest. So here's what I think. I get asked a lot, Patty, is it better for me to be in groups that have more people, or is it better to be in groups that have less people? I also have that answer myself. And what I look for when I'm going to be thinking about joining a group, right? So let's kind of answer that question. And then we're going to flip over to if you're a host of a Facebook group, and we'll spend the rest of our time together talking about that. But I know they're asking these questions. And so I'm like, yep, let's just answer those first.
Yeah. So what I teach is five different types of content that you can share in other people's communities. And what that does is elevate you. So this is not content based around sales. It's not necessarily selling you specifically, but what it's doing is elevating you as the expert and putting yourself out there as the expert. So one thing that in tandem to that comment post, what I did when I first started was this type of content in lots of different communities. And what that did was get me as the expert. And I became the person people referred to as, this person knows if you're in wellness, you need to go and speak to Deesha because she's an amazing social media manager. I've never spoken to her. I've never worked with her, but she's all over my feed talking about how much she helps people. And that meant that I got referrals from people I had never even heard of because they'd seen my content consistently showing up, just sharing advice, sharing tips, sharing things that they could learn from as a wellness entrepreneur. That then meant that elevated me and meant I got referrals from all over the place when I didn't even know these people. So it doesn't really matter in terms of the number of people in the group. Obviously, you don't want to go into a group that's got like 5 people. That would be a little silly. But what is important is that you are allowed to be and share content and be an entrepreneur in that community. One thing that one of my clients once got thrown out of a group for using too many emojis in a post, because apparently that was a rule of the group, not to have a certain amount of emojis in a post. Like, that's how crazy some of the rules are in these groups. And you think, okay, I'll just bail out of that group. So one thing that I recommend people look at is the rules in the group. And I'm not saying you need to be able to promote, because the content that I share isn't promotional in a sense, but what it is doing is elevating me. So I do need to be able to share content in that group. And one of the things I hate in groups is the approval. So when you post and it has to go to approval, the reason I hate that is because it's not giving your audience trust. And we are in a business where we should be able to trust each other. And if somebody breaks your rules, kick them out. It's your house, your party, kick them out. But you should be able to trust those people that you've welcomed into your world to not break the rules. And if they continue to do so, of course, remove them. But I don't believe in putting up those barriers to allowing them to share their expertise and get to know other people in the community, because that's why you create a community and didn't have that pedestal on a Facebook page or Instagram page or wherever else you might want to share your content. So yeah,
so that's three. Is that three of the five?
Yeah, no. So the five different types of posts, do you want me to go into those?
Well, because I just know that my audience, like, is she going to tell us the five now that she said she has five?
Yeah. So there are five different types. The first one is teaching. So when you teach your audience something, and this can be anything, it can be specific, it needs to be something that they can take action on and implement quickly. So teaching them something. Then we have agitation content. What I do with this is piss people off. So in terms of when I talk about this type of content, what I want to do is make sure that I am telling people what not to do or what I've seen in the industry. So whatever industry you are in, you will have seen somebody do something and you think, why are they telling people that? Like, what? That is the type of content because I talk a lot about having your personal profile and optimizing your personal profile. And I've shared in communities before, like, if you have all of your stuff hidden on your personal profile and you are active in groups, and that is your strategy to be active in other people's groups, you are losing out on customers and clients, because they're going to be nosy because we're human, and then they're not going to see anything. So, and I have got a lot of hate from that post, because people who don't like using their personal profile are like, no, why would I do that? But the people who do like using their personal profile and resonate with what I say, bring them closer to me. So they're like,
of course, because if you don't have haters, you don't have a point of view. You have to stand for something.
Exactly. So that's sort of agitation style content. We have sales objection content. So this is anything that you would hear on a sales call around objections. So time, money, anything like that, that you are going to then share. So I share stories about when I first invested in myself, how I find time in my day to look after myself, to put myself first and learn and train, things like that, that you will see and hear when you start having those sales conversations. So sales objection content. Then we've got elevation content. This is putting yourself up there. Why somebody would work with you over other people. This can be down to your credentials, your testimonials. It can be just how the results you've got when you've worked, the results you've got personally, can be anything, but you want to make sure that you are elevating yourself over those other people that they could potentially work with. And the last one is entertainment. And this is just being human. Like, just share some cute stuff about you. And it doesn't mean that you have to share everything about your world, but it's giving them relatable content so people can connect with you. So they are learning a little bit about you outside of your world or outside of the business world, so that they can get to know you, because people buy from people they know, love, and trust.
Okay, so let's recap the five content. So teaching, agitation, sales objections, elevation, and entertainment.
Yeah.
So are those five ways to share content is that in other people's group or in your own group?
In other people's and your own.
Okay, perfect. So you got that, everybody? Write that down. So that's whether you're in somebody else's group or whether you're doing it in your own group. So thank you so much for sharing that. Now we can switch over because I think it's really important. You know, like you could have this group and do great things in your group, but then if you're in other people's group not behaving or doing things right, well, that's not going to help you either. So we want to make sure we got you really, really clear there. And now we're going to talk about optimizing, re-engaging your Facebook group. I want to make sure we really talk about that. So in case any of you are out there going, oh my goodness, that's not what I've been doing in my group. Is she going to tell me, what do I do now? Should I close that group? Should I have a start another group instead? Right. You know, what should I do? So let's kind of, talk about, so I think there's really two things here, right? There's how to set up your group properly and optimize it if you don't have a Facebook group. And then there's how to re-engage your Facebook group if you have one and it's just not converting, it's not engaging. And I want to make sure we hit both of them. So which would you like to do first? I'm going to let you have the choice to do first since you're my guest. But I do want to make sure we cover both of them because I think the people that are listening and are going to want to connect with you probably fall in both categories. So
yeah. So let's start with setting up your group, because often when people have a group, they've realized they've set it up incorrectly as well. So let's start with the Facebook name, the Facebook group name. Now, so many people will use their personal name or will create something weird and wonderful like the Moon and the Stars Facebook group. And both of those instances, the one where you're using the name infers that people need to know who you are. And unless you're Tony Robbins or like some big star, Mel Robbins, you know, those people that everybody knows, ain't nobody going to join your group because of your name. That would be nice, but you know, ego, we have to put that aside. The other one is when you create those weird and wonderful group names, nobody knows what is going on inside. So the best type of Facebook group name is for it to say what it does on the tin. So literally have a group name that tells people who it's for and why they should join your community, because that is going to then allow your organic growth to come through. Because when people see the name of the group, they'll go, oh, that's for me. I should go and check that group out. And I see that that's the first mistake that a lot of people make. You can change your group name every 28 days. So make sure you get the spelling right when you do it, because nobody wants an incorrectly spelled Facebook group name. So do make sure that if you're going to change your group name, that you do that and every 28 days. When you change your group name, then everybody in your group gets notified. So I'll go into that into a second, well, why that's a good thing, because that's part of the re-engaging of your Facebook group. But that's something to note when you change your name, that everybody gets notified. The other thing you want to make sure that you're doing when you're setting up your Facebook group is your header image. This is prime real estate that is seen. So when Facebook shows your group to groups you might like or in other places, then the header image is the big thing that most people will see. And then they'll look down into the Facebook group name. And if your header image is something random, like you walk along the beach, then people, that's, you're wasting that space. If you use that space to grab people's attention and tell them what's going to be happening, whether that's a freebie that you've got, a lead magnet that you've got, a training that's happening inside the group, whatever it is, it's going to capture their attention. And then they'll look into the group name below that. So making sure you're using that as well. The third thing is your about section inside of your group. So this is the section that people see before they've even joined your group. Now, Facebook groups are SEO'd. They are, you can search Facebook groups on Google, and people use Facebook like a search engine a lot as well. So you want to make sure that that about section of your Facebook group is stuffed with all those keywords that people would be searching for should they find your community. So make sure that about section has some substance to it. The amount of times I've seen Facebook groups where they're just like, oh, just come and join my group in the description of the group. And you think, I'm not going to learn anything about what's inside that group just there. So make sure you've got enough inside of that space where people can learn something from you. This is all stuff that people will see even before they've got inside of your community. And then we can go on to the questions and the concierge, I call it the concierge experience, when people join your group and the way they feel when they're inside of your group. Does that all make sense to get started?
It totally makes sense. So I think that is really important. So now let's kind of talk about when you're setting that up. What about the questions? So, you know, a lot of times, actually, it's been very rare for me to see anybody where you ask to join a Facebook group and they don't have those lists of questions, right? And I think that is really important. So if you are optimizing your Facebook group, what are the type of questions that it really does make sense? Because some of the people are new to your world, some of them are not. What makes sense as a question if you're going to optimize?
Yeah, so there are a few things that I like to make sure that I have in my group. You have three questions to ask. The first one is knowing where they are in their business as it relates to how you can help them. So if they're coming into your group and they need help with content or sales, then you've got that list as an option for them to choose. So they're saying what they need help with, because that's going to help with you giving them that on the back end of things. So if they say, if they pick an area that they need specific support in, you can then give them that support in that area. The second section is the email address, making sure you've got their email address. And you have to be mindful of, we have GDPR in the UK and in Europe, you know, data protection laws and all the rest of it about how you collect that and what that looks like. But asking for their email address so that you can involve them in what is happening in the community and they can look out for emails from you as well, really, really good thing to do. And then you want to make sure that you are asking them if they need any sort of support. So one of the things that I ask is, hey, you've joined my group because you need help with Facebook groups and scaling your business organically. Do you want to have a conversation with me about that now or not? Totally up for you. And what I do is I give them three options. So I make sure that I am giving them options to choose from. So they're not having to think outside the box and create their own answer. I'm going, yes, I want to speak to you. No, I'm good. I'm just here for the free stuff. So making sure that you've got those drop down options for them to pick from so that not having to jump through all of those hoops to get into your group.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so now we're talking about how we would optimize our group. So now let's talk about how to re-engage your group. So say you have a Facebook group, and I guess it really doesn't matter how many people are in your Facebook group, but what are some ways to re-engage your group? Because I have to tell you, for a long, long time, and I actually will say that I did it too, because that was kind of what it was people liked, right? You know, and it was all about, you know, every day was this, you know, it was Motivation Monday or Tip Tuesday or whatever the case may be. And people knew that they could expect something every day, right? You know, and I see them in other groups too. But for me, I don't know how many in my audience is thinking, yes, me too. If you know they're going to have the same ones all the time, if you're busy, you're just thinking, oh, I don't need to do it. She'll have it next week and I just can engage next week. And so I feel like sometimes I actually did have something to say. I just was too busy right at that moment. And then I didn't go back and do it. And I thought, oh, I'll catch it next week. So that was kind of the way that people were doing it for a long, long time. But I know there's a better way, right? Really to really engage. So what would be some of the ways people would re-engage their Facebook groups, especially if they want to increase sales? But we'll just start with re-engaging them first, and then we'll talk about increasing sales.
Yeah. So in terms of re-engage, what I do is I teach a 2-week strategy, and I have a whole course and everything on it. But the 2-week strategy is to change your Facebook group name, because as I mentioned earlier, that triggers everybody to notify in your group is notified that you're changing something in your group. Then I have a 2-week live strategy in which you go live every single day for 2 weeks. What this does is in this 2-week live strategy, we're filling up our guide section. Now the guide section, we're creating these guides based on the pillars of our programs. So whatever it is that you're teaching, or sharing in your programs, you have pillars, the three, four things that they need to know to go through your program. We're going to fill the guides based on those. So for the next 2 weeks, you're going to go live every single day and fill up your guide section so it matches the pillars of your programs. So then we're going to send a message to every single person inside of the group and tell them this is what we're doing. Because we've changed the group name, we have a reason to reach out to them. Hey, Patty, I know I've changed the group name, so you might not be able to search for me anymore. So I wanted to let you know that this is the new group name. In line with the new group name, I am also doing 2 weeks of free training so that I can make sure that this group is an engaged community. I'd love to ask you some more questions, see if there's any training that I am doing that might interest you, or if there's not any training coming up that would interest you that I could put on in the future that would be specifically for you. Would that be okay?
So when you're saying you reach out, message everybody, are you using the at everyone feature that everybody seems to hate?
No, I am direct messaging every single person inside of the group. So they get a message from me in their inbox, personalized, reaching out to them, seeing if I can help them, if they're interested in the training that's got coming up. By doing it this way, what you're doing is you've also got a reason to advertise your group again. So by getting that 2 weeks worth of free training that you're doing inside of your group, you've got a reason to go out and tell people about that. So when I do this re-engagement campaign, and I do this every 6 months inside of my group, I have a reason to go out and say, hey, there's 2 weeks worth of free training coming up inside my group. You should come along and join. So not only do I'm re-engaging the people in there, I'm also growing the group and getting new people in there as well. So I can send that to my email list. So if people are on my email list and not inside of my group yet, then I can say, hey, 2 weeks worth of training coming up. It's only happening inside of my group. You should definitely come in and check it out. So growth numbers go up too.
When you say 2 weeks, do you mean 2 weeks Monday through Friday, or do you mean 2 weeks, 7 days a week?
2 weeks Monday to Friday. I don't work weekends.
Me either. So I just wanted to be sure, because I try to anticipate what I know the questions are. So I think that is actually a good strategy there for that, to do your guides, to build your guides. That is, I think that would do it. So then when you are doing that and you have the guides, and so now you've done that 2 week training, is the training, because I have to tell you, I have a very substantial email list. And part of one of the things that I offer my email list is that they know that they're going to get exclusive content they're not going to get anywhere else. Right. And I have a very small unsubscribe percentage. And most of that, I believe, is because they know that when I tell them they're going to get exclusive content, they're not going to get it anywhere else. Is that something that also can be done in a Facebook group, where in those trainings, you're going to say, this is exclusive content you're not going to see on my website, you're not going to see, somewhere else. And so that would really help them to be able to know, oh, wow, I want this exclusive content. And in that content you're giving, how long is that? 5 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour?
15, 20 minutes maximum. Sometimes it can be 5 minutes, depending on what you're sharing. But the trick is to keep it evergreen. So don't date stamp any of this content. Don't talk about anything current in the news. Don't talk about the time of year, nothing. You want to keep this content evergreen, because that's going to be content that we refer people back to. I still have content in my guides from 2 years ago that I'm still referring people back to, because it's still good content. And the call to action is, hey, if you want more support with this, comment below, rather than a specific training or a thing that I've been running for a small period of time.
And so would you say that doing these things is what is going to help you to increase sales?
Yes. So I have had people sign up to work with me without sales calls after being in my group for a couple of days, because they have binge watched my guide section. And I can see them binge watching it, because, I always get people to hashtag reply, if they're watching, and they're going through and liking different things. And then they sign up to work with me, and I get messages. Somebody signed up to my group program recently, and I got a message, hey, I've just watched all your guides in your program, in your group. I want to sign up to this group program. Can you send me the link for it? I'm like, yep, here you go.
I didn't love, have to love, love. At all. I love that. And so for those of you that are out there to go, oh, wow, these are some really great tips, right? And she's got some not just tips, but techniques too. Guess what? She has a gift for you as well. So tell us a little bit about the gift, because this just segued right into that.
Yeah. So 11 steps to growing your Facebook group. If you're thinking, right, I need to do some of this stuff. How do I get people into my group? There are a few ways, and I've got 11 steps to take you through. And I'm actually doing training inside of my group, matching these over the next 11 weeks as well. So you can download the free training. It's a free PDF that'll take you through all of these 11 steps on growing your Facebook group and how to do that. And you definitely, some of them you'll kick yourself that you haven't been doing before. Like, of course, I should have done that. Why wouldn't I have thought that?
I love that. And for those of you that are listening, just look below. The button is right there for you to be able to click to get that gift. So also, what is your website? So I have to tell you, you know, I'm sure that yours, like mine, has everything you have, right? It has all your resources, your social media, like your offers, like everything we need to know. I love it when people realize that that's the place. So what is the place there where they should gather up all your goodies, as I like to say?
NeishaWhatUp.com. Super simple, if you can spell it.
That's right. Let's spell that. So it's DeishaWhatUp.com. And again, we will have that button right there for you to click on. So no big deal there. We're going to make it nice and easy for you. I'm going to recommend that you literally jump right into that. She's also going to have an invite for you to join her Facebook group. That link will be below as well. And this is the part of the show right now where I like to call it, it is like my social karaoke. And so this is the Marketing Media and Money podcast, and she has shared so much information so generously. However, we know that at the end of the show, we always like to ask our guests, what is your number one marketing, media, and money strategy? So what would that be?
Make sure that you engage with every single member of your Facebook group. Don't let anybody go a moment without you interacting with them, sending them a message, connecting with them. They are a human that joined your world for a reason.
So is that like doing the welcome, introduce yourself, or you mean reaching out personally in like a private message to them, or doing that, these are our new members this week, you know, and doing that, introduce yourself in the comments below, or both?
Both. But I personally reach out to every single person in the direct message. Whether they answer or not is on them. I've done my job by being that person. And I get so many wonderful messages being like, thank you so much for taking the time to message me and have that conversation with me. Because so many groups don't do that. And you just become a number in the community rather than somebody's taken the time to actually ask how they're doing and if they need support.
That is fabulous. So thank you so much, Deisha, for being here. This was some fabulous information. I know we kind of took you all around the circle from host to guest, what you should do. Going to recommend that you download her information, go to her website. You're going to want to connect with her. Absolutely, because we know that if you're on Facebook, why wouldn't you want to do it right? You know, and be a little bit more effective at it. So thank you so much. Thank you, Deisha, for being here with me.
Thank you so much for having me. Very, very appreciate it.
Love that. So if you'd like a simple answer to the question, where should I focus my time and energy to attract highly qualified ideal clients? I invite you to take the Marketing Media Money Assessment, and in 3 minutes or less, you'll know where you're excelling, where you can make a few changes, and what steps to take to achieve massive results. So go to www.m3, which stands for Marketing Media Money, bizquiz.com. So again, that's www.m3bizquiz.com. And thank you everyone for being here with us, for joining us on the Marketing Media Money podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, and I'm sure you did, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you showing up here every single week. Please have a phenomenal, productive, and profitable day, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.